Well, if you would, open your Bibles, please, to John chapter 17. John 17. A lot of sickness been going around. I'm glad that you guys are healthy. Made it out today. Influenza, stomach viruses, you name it. And it just doesn't let go easy, so... The message I have for today is one that I've hit the topic a couple times lightly in the past, but I think that the Lord wants us to just stop and consider it seriously. And so if you want the title of the message before we can get started, why are Christians left in this world? You ever think about that? Why are Christians left in this world? You know, have you ever wondered that yourself? And as I was thinking about this question, I come to a conclusion, you know, there's probably a lot of folks who really haven't given it much thought. You know, I know the mindset of when I was growing up, of most of the Christians was, we're, you know, going to live for the Lord. And, you know, of course, living for the Lord gives you a very happy lifestyle. And it has many rewards. It just has a lot of blessings with it. And a lot of times the idea was, we're going to serve God. We're going to live right, a clean life. We're going to then save up, and we're going to have a nice nest egg, and we're going to retire. You know, and just... You know, that's a dream of American dream, right? And but is that why God's left us here on this earth, really? You know, as you stop and think about it. Because if we get that kind of a mindset, now, it is a blessing that we can actually, in America, gain the savings. And, you know, with God's blessing upon our lives, be healthy many times as we get older. And can enjoy a lot of things that we might not otherwise. But is that the purpose for us to be here? And so we need to be careful, because it can get our focus on the wrong things. I have come to the conclusion that most Christians do believe that that's what Christianity is all about. Just living a life that's blessed. Have you ever seen the saying, be blessed? You know, and I'm not against. If you're a believer, I pray that the Lord bless you. You know, the thing is that I'm challenging us to, though, is there are sometimes hard things in this life. For a believer too. And we need to understand that. So why are we truly here? And is it just to have a wonderful life? Now, I guess I could have a big following, and I could probably get rich if I would switch to prosperity living preaching. You know, you just send your money into Faith Baptist Church and to Pastor Pepley. The more checks that say Pastor Pepley, the more that you'll have to spend. But you know what? That's just not Bible. And I have chosen, and not unfortunately, but on purpose, to preach the whole counsel of God and to preach it accurately. And according to God's Word, God blesses Christians. And there's times where He allows us to go through hardship. And either way, it's for our best and for the best in the long run. And I wanted to show you that today. So, if we consider, I don't know what you think, but why are Christians left in this world and how you've thought about it, I want to put this out before you. Wouldn't it just be better for all believers to be in heaven? And there again, people going like, well, I don't know. You know, you talk about the little boy who was sitting in class, and the teacher said, everybody that wants to go to heaven, raise your hand. And everybody raised their hand except for Johnny. And she looks at Johnny and says, well, don't you want to go to heaven? He says, well, yes, ma'am. She said, well, why didn't you raise your hand? He said, well, I thought you were getting up a load to go right now. You know, and so there's a lot of things I want to do in this life. And with that in mind, there are. And there's a lot of blessings and heavenly rewards to be earned in this life. And that's why we'll see here that God has left us here. But you know what? If you stop and thought about, you're just wanting a good place to live, which would be better, here or heaven? You know, which place do you think that you might have the nicest house? In my Father's house are many mansions. Okay. I live in a nice house on 211 Faith Road, but it's not quite a mansion, right? And so, you know, wherever you live, I have no, you probably have a nice dwelling and you're content with, but would you consider that as nice as your home in heaven's going to be? You know, as far as your wealth, do you suppose that a person living here on earth is going to have an extravagant life as he would in heaven? Is there anything here on this earth that bothers you in your life? I mean, how many of you enjoy being sick? You know, how many of you enjoy death? I hate it. Don't you? It does. It to me, I it It's all too real for a preacher. I mean, it's all too real to us when we lose a loved one, but I have lots of friends who have loved ones. You know, and it's a hard thing. And we lose people we love. That's something I could do without. And being separated then from them for a time until, you know, if they're saved and we're saved, we'll see them again in heaven. But to be separated from our loved one, that's hard. Sometimes we never get over that, right? There's always that hole there, that void. And so I'm just trying to say, you know what? When we put it in the true light and the scope of things, the devil wants us to say, I don't want to go to heaven. I want to fight for what I can get here. And God's saying, well, what are you going to gain here? Matter of fact, didn't he say we're supposed to send the things ahead? Treasures are supposed to be stored up in heaven. And so there's things to look at. But I was just wanting us to stop and really just think about our life here versus in heaven. There's obviously more wealth there. There's no pain, no sorrow, no death. Their home there is going to be much more lovely. I'm going to be with Jesus. I'll be able to talk to Him face to face. Wouldn't you love to do that right now? Now, I know we can pray to Him, right? And we're talking to Him, but I can't see Him. And I'm a person that likes to see people when I talk to them. That's probably one of the things is so that you don't misunderstand me. If people are going like this, I knew I said something wrong. I've been a little tired the last few times I've preached, and Wednesday night I was saying things and they were grinning at me. And I go like, now what did I just say? And I was saying the statements completely backwards. Now they're grinning again. Yeah, you did. Today I messed up on the song. But you know what? When I'm right face to face with the Lord, that won't be a problem, right? And that's going to be a wonderful day. So, why would you want to live here on earth if you could live in heaven? And why would God leave us here if heaven's such a better place for us? Doesn't He love us? You know, some of you might say, well, He's just trying to hold you off for a while, Pastor. He can only put up with you so long. No, God really loves us, right? And so here in John chapter 17, in verse 15, Jesus is praying. And He's praying for you and for the disciples. He's not just praying for the disciples. In verse 20, it says He's praying for you too. I think that's amazing. I really honestly believe that Jesus is praying ahead with you in mind. Now, that's pretty special. But anyway, what's that verse 15 say? He said, now I pray not, and he's praying to God the Father. He says, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. Now, I'm going like, Lord, wouldn't it be nice if you prayed to take me out of this world? But why didn't he? And that's so interesting, and I just want to look at that a little bit. And so with that in mind, let's study some facts about believers. And that might help us understand why Jesus prayed that we would be kept from evil, but remain in this world. So if you do take notes, the first one is, you know what, as believers, we are redeemed. Is that important? What does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be bought back. It means to be taken out of a ransom. Now, if you go to a foreign country on a vacation and you know they have in those sales brochures how beautiful those beaches are and how wonderful the environment is there, it's just paradise. Well, you get out of the tourist zone, you're in big danger. Matter of fact, in the tourist zone, sometimes Americans get kidnapped. And why do they get kidnapped? For ransom. And so, how many of you would like to be ransomed back? If you were taken on your favorite vacation, taken into captivity, I think you'd want to be ransomed back. Well, we are in bondage to sin and to the world. And when we got saved, God redeemed us and He bought us back. We were His and we turned from Him in our own sinful ways. And God redeemed us. And so we've been purchased with a special price. So, what God said is, we are in this world, but we're not of it. Let me show you some verses that talk about that. You're in John 17, right? You can leave a bookmark here because we're going to be in this a few times. But John chapter 17, verse 16 says this. Jesus says to God the Father, He says, they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What's it mean for Him to be of the world or not of the world? You know, well, you are of whatever produced you, right? We are the children of God when we're saved. So we're not of the world. We're of who? Jesus Christ. And so we need to keep that in mind. Matter of fact, in John chapter 4, verse 4, I have an interesting verse here. It talks about Jesus and His life while He was here on this earth. And in John 4, verse 4, it says, and He must needs pass through where? Samaria. Now, I think that's important or interesting. Why did it say he must needs go through there? Well, God the Father had a job for Jesus to do while he was here on the earth, and part of that was to go through Samaria. He's not saying that he had to go through there to get where he was going. Because you know what? Most of the world wouldn't have gone, most of the Jews would not, as a matter of fact, all of the Jews would not have gone through Samaria to get where they were going. They didn't care if they had to go all the way around. That's the way they went. They were not going through Samaria. So he wasn't saying that Jesus had to go through Samaria because it was easier because that was the only route. As the world or the Jews would have done, they would have went around. But Jesus had a job to do there. And so Jesus wasn't of this world, but he was in this world for a purpose. Isn't that important for us to understand? Jesus said, you're not of this world, but you're in it. If you want an illustration of that, how about a ship in the sea? The ship is in the sea, but it's not of the sea. What would be some things of the sea? A whale. You know, fishes that live there. Of course, you're living there if you're in the ship. You go on one of those wonderful cruises. You're a ship out in the sea. But you're not of the sea. You're just there for a short time. You hope that you're coming back, right? You hope that this cruise ends in a nice way. And, you know, some of those cruises haven't turned out, and some of them are wonderful, right? And some of you have gone on them. And so, you know, I just wanted to make a point. We're in this world, but we're not of this world. We've been delivered from the ways of this world and the bondage of sin. And so we must be careful then not to be like the world. Now, why did we bring that up? Only because Jesus did. Jesus is saying, you got to be careful. You don't need to be like the world. We must be careful not to love the world. And I just want to take you in, like I said, keep your bookmark here, but 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, a very familiar passage. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. The reason I give you some time so you can find it, it's highlighted in my Bible. You highlight in your Bible important verses? It says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Now, isn't that interesting? If you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you, because you see, they're two separate things. If you love the Father, can you be in the world? You'll be in it, but you won't be part of it. If you love the world, you're part of it. You become, start becoming part of it. And so just keeping that in mind, Jesus wants us to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. And what are some of the things that we might fall in love with? Well, we can't feedback. I'm used to teaching, and I'm more of a teacher, and I like the feedback from folks in the audience. But, you know, there's a lot of things that would distract us in this world. There was maybe a time in my life when I was younger where I had so much of life to experience. I'm going like, I can't die quite yet. I know I'm going to get to go to heaven, but there's so many things I want to experience. Right? Well, you know what? I was loving what when I'm thinking that way? The world. And sometimes people say, well, you know, I would do this for God or I would be there, but I really want to do this more. And you've got to be careful. The old flesh loves the things of this world more than it does God. And Jesus said this, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. If that isn't an accurate statement, there isn't one. Because you know what? As believers, we want to serve God. You know, for someone to say a believer didn't want to serve God would be to say that they were really, really backslidden and cold. We have a desire in the spirit to serve God, but the old flesh really wants to serve the flesh. And so moving along. So we got to be careful not to love the world. We must be careful to not fellowship with the world. And you're going like, wow, well, if I'm going to be in the world, how can I relate? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 11 through 18 says it this way. He says, O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. He says, ye are not straitened in us, but ye are straitened in your own bowels. Now, you're going like, what in the world is he talking about? Well, look at verse 13. It says, now for a recompense in the same, I speak unto you as my children, be also enlarged. What he's saying here is, you know what? I led you guys to Christ, and I really love you. How many of your parents love your kids? They don't have to raise hands today, because just in case someone didn't incriminating. But no, all the parents here love their kids. But you really love your kids, right? Have you ever had your kids tell? You ever tell your kids no, because it was bad for them? So your children said, "Wow, mom and dad said no. They really love me. I am so glad they said no. Mom, I want to tell you that I want to thank you for saying no because." Even though I want to, I know you really have my best interest in mind. And all the parents are going like, what kids are you talking about? Because when you tell them no, they're going like, you ever seen something like that? Or, you hate me. Right? You don't love me. And you won't let me do anything. And you know what the devil does? He goes like, you're right, kids. Your parents don't love you. They don't let you have any fun. No fun. Now, have you ever seen a kid that never had any fun? But it sounds good, right? Never have any fun at my house. The devil says, you know what? If you follow God, you'll never have any fun. And here Paul was challenging the people at Corinth. He said, I've led you to the Christ, and I love you with all my heart. But some of the things that Paul was challenging they needed to do wasn't setting too well with what they wanted to do. And he said, you've been straight. In other words, their love and affection for him was kind of questionable at the moment. You know how you feel? And he says, I want you to realize how much I love you, and then I want you to be enlarged. In other words, return that love. I want you to realize that I do love you. And, well, what's that got to do with anything? So he's going on to tell them some things that they need to do in their Christian walk to help them to be spiritual and mature in this world and do something for God, but it's not always easy. When you got older, did you realize then that your parents did things for you? How old did you have to get before you realized mom and dad knew something? Right? How old did you have to get before you go like, wow, I think they know everything? You know, how old did you have to get before you called them up and said, hey, what do you think I should do? You know, we find out that they're a lot smarter. And the same thing goes with God. When we're going through our lives, we feel like, you know, the devil tells you God doesn't love you. He won't let you have any fun. You ever heard or that thought ever sneak through your mind? And boy, if I obey God, I have nothing but rules and regulations. And then pretty soon you get mature in the Lord and you go like, wow, this is great. What else should I do, Lord? What else should I do in my life? Because, man, things are turning out great. And that's the way it works. So let's read the next verses that he challenges them with. He says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. Well, what does it mean to be yoked together? How many of you are farmers and plow with a team of oxen? Not anymore. So what is a yoke? A yoke would be a piece of wood with a loop under it, or shoulder pads. There's different kinds of things to put two animals together, but a yoke was basically, it went across the shoulders and was held in place between two animals, and then you would pull the weight in between. They do have yokes for carrying water. You ever see some of those for people? It went over the shoulders. That's a one person, but it's not truly a yoke, because a yoke is putting two workers together. What happens when you get two workers together and one's lazy and one works hard? Well, if the one working hard's big enough, he can really drag and put some damage to the lazy one. But most of the time, it just makes the load really hard for the one who's trying to do the job, because one's holding back. Now, if the Bible says, Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke upon you. So when Jesus asked you to be yoked up with him, do you realize what he's saying? He's saying, would you get in here? I've got the yoke on. Would you put the yoke on and would you work with me? Now, how many of you think that God's going to slack off on his end? And so that's why he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. But if you yoke up with the world, what is going to happen? You want to serve God and they want to serve flesh. And you think there's going to be a struggle going on. And you're going to have problems. And so that's what he's saying here. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. And then he goes on, he says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? You know, if you want to do right and the world wants to do as they want to do, are you going to have some conflict? He goes on, what communion hath light with darkness? Can you answer that one? How many of you ever turned on a flashlight in a really dark room and it turned gray? You know, there's a light beam shoots through the dark. You can see it swirling in the black and the white, and it's trying to mix in. And pretty soon the whole room just kind of swirls into gray. Doesn't work that way. No, you shoot the beam and you've got instant light, right? Wherever the beam goes, and it's black out here, but you don't have a mix. And that's what it says. It doesn't mix. And so, keep on moving here. It says, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Now, what is concord? Agreement, harmony. It goes, it's a musical term. How many of you like music that's in harmony? How many of you have heard music that's not in harmony? I can't, that hurts my ears. All right, it's like, please, you know? And so, in harmony, is Christ going to be in harmony with someone that wants to do evil? Because Belial there refers to those that just had evil intentions. Christ had good intentions and a love. And, of course, that's all he has. And Belial, sons of Belial here had the other. It says, what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, an unbeliever? You see what he's trying to say? You can be in the world. That's where God has put you, but you're not to be of the world. We're not supposed to think the way. We don't think the same way. We can't be yoked up with them because we're going to have trouble. I could preach on these verses all day, breaking them down. But that's not the whole point of today's message. We just need to realize that, you know what, we're not to be of this world. We've got some different things that God has for us to do. So we need to be careful, as James 4, verse 4 says, to not be a friend of the world. We need to be a friend of who? Of Christ. All right, so let's move along. John chapter 17, are you still there? I'm not, but as soon as I get there, hopefully your bookmark will keep you there. John chapter 17. All right, there in verse 14, I just want you to note this. You'll find out that Jesus said that choosing to serve Him is going to be a tough choice to follow. He said, I have given them Thy word, and the world hath hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I guess maybe this could be the whole point of a message for some people, because somewhere in your life you're going to have to choose to follow the Lord or not. And here is telling us that if you choose to follow God, you're not going to be popular with the world anymore. A lot of you have realized that, right? There's a lot of people here that says, you know what, I realize if I'm going to serve God, I'm just not going to be popular as far as the world. I'm not going to fit in like I used to. The things I did, used to do, I don't feel comfortable doing anymore. The Holy Spirit says, you know, that's not what I should do. And when I don't do those anymore, people are going to isolate themselves from me. Now, I just want you to know this. As you serve God, you aren't shunning people. They start shunning you. And why? Well, they just don't like that you walk with God. You know why? Because they didn't like God. How many people followed Jesus? What did they do with Jesus? They hung Him to the cross. Did He ever do anything wicked, evil, or harmful to anyone? He only did that which was good. It's amazing. Why would the world hate perfection and love? But it did. And so God, Christ is just saying here, you're not of this world. Now, secondly, and main point is, a Christian's place, what is a Christian's place in this world? Well, first of all, in 2 Peter 2, verse 11, it says, you're strangers and pilgrims. Strangers and pilgrims. So, if you're to go on vacation somewhere, and let's say you go to the Bahamas, how many of you became Bahamas citizens? If you go to Europe, how many become European citizens? No. Matter of fact, you have to carry a little book along, right? It's got your picture on it and a special seal, passport. Plus, you probably have to have some sort of visa in some countries, probably all countries, to get in. So when you're there, you present it. And he said, what do they usually say at the border crossings? How many of you have ever been checked at a different country's security? Well, the first thing they ask is, like, how long are you going to stay? Right? How long do you intend to stay? Because they haven't even let you in yet. You know, I asked us a question. How long do you guys intend to stay here on this earth? All right, so they say, well, some say however long God has for me here. If some say, well, I plan on staying here for a long time. Well, that means to tell me that you plan on living here instead of being a resident in God's kingdom. Those, once you get saved, Jesus said, you're now a child of the kingdom of God. And so it says here, dearly beloved, I beseech you, as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. In other words, don't get too comfortable in your worldly pursuits. All right, secondly, our profession as a Christian, then, not only are we pilgrims and strangers, but we have a job. In 2 Corinthians 5:20 says we're ambassadors. All right, is an ambassador a citizen of the country he goes to? They just built a new embassy. I saw it on the news, but I can't remember where it was. Was it in Jerusalem? Is that the news? Okay, a beautiful building. Has security, has all kinds of special features to protect those that are there. I think that's wonderful. I think our ambassadors to other countries should be protected. I just want you to think about that. Sometimes in the past, our people have not been protected in their embassies. You think that that's what God would do to you? You think God would send you to another country and not protect you? The Bible says, Jesus said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Did you notice that? And so God has us protected as we are ambassadors. But do you realize that that is a very valuable and an important job? So does an ambassador go over to, let's say, Israel to live a good life, to just have a great time? You know, he goes around and looks for the fanciest houses and he buys things up and he does this and he does that. Or does he do the business of his country? And so here we see it. It's easy to see that God has us here as strangers. This isn't our home. And secondly, he has us here as ambassadors, so we have a job to do. And what does an ambassador do? Well, an ambassador represents the country from where he is. So how would you represent the country from where you are? From heaven. Okay, if heaven's your home, how would you represent that? Well, you don't want anybody to really know that you're a citizen there because, you know, that would be embarrassing. Are you embarrassed of your Savior? In Romans 1:16, Paul said this, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So he says, my job is to tell others about Christ, so I'm not going to be embarrassed. I'm not ashamed. What good would an ambassador do if he went to another foreign country and they were giving him a hard time about his country? He says, well, yeah, I'm pretty embarrassed about my country too. Would they be calling him home in a hurry? You know, so we have a job to do. It's not easy because we don't fit in. But yet again, does an ambassador really care if he fits in? What he cares about is that he's a good representation of his country and he does the very best to, as an ambassador, to influence them in the ways of his country. So Acts 1:8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, God is just saying, here's your job, and you don't need to be ashamed of it. I just want you to know that though when you are, you're not going to fit in, but you are in the world for a special purpose. So, why are Christians really left in the world? Well, first of all, we have a job to do, and it is for our spiritual benefit. You're going like, wait a minute. You just told me that if I went to heaven, I'd have a nicer home. I'd have perfect health. I would be joyful, and I wouldn't have struggles. So why would you say that being here is good for me? How can this help my spiritual health? Well, Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5 says this. He says, now, I don't have time to back up and get verses 1, 2, and the verse from the previous chapter, but it's just saying that you've been saved, you've been justified, you've been made special to Christ. And then he says, and not only so, but we glory in tribulation also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience. Now, how many of you want patience? Well, I do, Pastor. I go pray to God all the time, Lord, give me patience and give it to me now. Well, you know, I just want to warn you, when you pray for patience, this is how God gives it. He says, tribulation worketh patience. And you know what? Even if you don't pray for patience, God still builds patience in you by sending you tribulation. All right, so when hard things are coming, realize that it's for your spiritual health. Because it says, tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in your hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. In other words, God will never let you down. As you go through those hard times and you come out seeing Him strong, that'll increase your faith and your hope and trust in Him. And you know what? When you put your faith and trust in Christ, you'll never be let down. Now, if I give you my word, I'm going to do something for you. I'll do my very best. But you know, it is possible that I might let you down. You know, if I said I'm coming over to your house next week on Thursday at 7 o'clock, it is very possible that North Dakota weather could hinder that. Therefore, I would have broke my word. If God says, I'll be at your house on Thursday at 7 o'clock, I don't care what the weather's like, He's going to be there. Right? And what God is saying, you can trust in Him because He won't let you down. And that's that blessed hope. And there's another hope that we'll look at here in just a minute for believers. But what God is saying is, live for me, serve me, you won't be disappointed. The hardships that come into your life are for your spiritual embitterment. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7 says this, and godliness, we got a whole list of things here. That's not the verse I wanted. That's 2 Peter. Hang on. 1 Peter 1, 7 says, knowing that, verse 6 says, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It had just gone through in the first part of the chapter telling you all the benefits of being saved. Your heavenly home, your protection in Christ, your sins forgiven. It says, but you can rejoice, but it may take a problem that you may for a season have to go through some trials. Why? It says that the trials of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. Do you realize that your faith is like gold, God says? To God, it's valuable. And He says, if you'll allow Him to try it and bring it through the fire, He'll purify it. And when we get to heaven, that's going to bring glory to God as well as to you. But if we don't live by faith and we live in the world instead of, and we're part of the world instead of just living in the world for Christ as an ambassador, we're going to miss out on those blessings. So, we need to live in this world for Christ's sake. There are benefits for us spiritually. There's going to be benefits if we live godly for others, as we might say, the song, Rescue the Perishing, Care for the Dying, Snatch them in pity from sin in the grave. Do you have loved ones that if they were to die right now, that would not go to heaven? Does that concern you? Because I hope that concerns you more than having a nice house here. I hope that you're concerned that, you know, I would give up a nice house here. I'd give up some of the things of this world that I might see spiritual fruit, that my loved ones might be in heaven. And that's the challenge. You know, we are to be witnesses. That is one of the reasons why we're here. And so we're here for our spiritual benefit. We're here for the benefit of others, that they might be saved. And lastly, we're here for the benefit of Jesus Christ, because the Bible says that He died on the cross for you. He rose again, and He is in heaven making perfect intercession for you. Do you realize that He's up there right now making intercession for you and for me as we struggle through our lives? He's going like, well, Father, you know, the young man failed here, but you know what? I died for that failure. So God says, no problem. Let's help him along. And He's up there and He's praying for you and He's guiding you in your life. And He sent the Holy Spirit who lives within you. That's His Spirit to encourage you and to guide you in the right way. So what does He want us to do to represent Him here? He's representing you in heaven. He does it 24/7, 364 and a half days, a quarter days a year. You know, He's always there. Are we always there representing Him? And that's a challenge, because if we get to be thinking about being of this world, we'll forget that. Lastly, Christians will not be left in this world. Aren't you glad about that? I mean, He didn't desert you. He just had a job for you to do. As soon as it's finished, He's taking you home. Some people said, Pastor, why am I still here? There comes a time in our life when we get older and our bodies are wore out, where sometimes it's more of a struggle to be here than to... That's when we start to realize, you know, heaven would be a better place. Right now, heaven would be a better place for all of us, but some of us are so healthy we don't really think about it. And they say, Pastor, why am I still here? And you know what I tell them? I go down through the list of all the things they're supposed to do. No. I just say, well, if God still has you here, He has more for you to do. And I don't know what all of God's plan is for everybody. But I do know that He said that when He has nothing else for us here to do, He's going to take us to be with Him. Isn't that a blessed promise? So in other words, there is no Christian here on this earth who is useless. There's no one here who has wore out their usefulness. They're just wore out and can't do anything else for God, because if you were, He would take you home. So there is a purpose for all of us. Does that encourage you? I hope that encourages you, because a lot of times the devil tells you, you're worthless. God can't use you. Is it possible for a person in their younger years to feel worthless and like God can't use them? But it's not true. It's a lie of the devil. I got to keep moving here. I don't want to lose your train of thought. But I just want you to note in John chapter 17, and if you're still there with me, I will go back there. I've been all over the scriptures trying to show you different passages. But John chapter 17 and verse 24, I want you to know that Jesus wants you with Him. The only reason He has you here is for a special purpose that you're going to be rewarded for, and it's going to bring glory to you and to Him. And so in John chapter 17, verse 24, here's what He says. Father, He says, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. What's he saying? I want them here. I want them with me. When I'm in heaven, I want my people around me. Do you ever stop and think about how much love that takes? How many parents, the kids are gone from home, you're going like, you know what, I miss the kids. And you're like, up just before that, it was like, ah. But you know what? Christ is saying, I love you. I want you with me. Why aren't we with him yet? Because we got a job to do. And why does he want us? Well, we belong to him. We are his. If you'll note here in John chapter 17, in verse 6, verse 9, verse 11, and verse 12, every one of those times in there, it says that, you know what? We are God's gift to Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know. I want to ask you, how good of a gift are you? Heavenly Father said, here's my gift to you. And he gave, when you trusted Christ as Savior, he gave you to Christ. Now, how many of you think you're a good gift? And we're going like, well, does God even really want me? But look at what it says here. I'll read them real quick. Verse 6 says, I have manifested thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Verse 9, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 11, and now I am no more in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to thee, Holy Father, keep through thy name, or thine own name, those whom thou hast given me, that they may be one as we are. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled. So what he's saying here, Christ doesn't give up his own. He doesn't lose his own, and you are so valuable, you're considered a gift. Now, I don't know. I think this changes the whole perspective of the lie of the devil. The devil's been telling you need to enjoy this world, and if you live for God, this world's going to be a miserable place, and it's not worth it. Go ahead and live it up now, and don't worry about the future. God's saying, I'm in heaven making intercession for you because I love you. I'm doing that 24/7. I am there all the time for you. And all I'm asking is that you represent me for a short time because I have an eternity prepared for you that's just out of this world. Pun intended. Think about it. How many of you would go through a minute of pain if you would never have to be sick the rest of your life? Wow, wouldn't that be neat? How many of you would be willing to give God a few years of your earthly life that you might have eternity of blessing? You're thinking about that way? And so I'm going to wrap up the message, but I just wanted to get these points across. You belong to him. He loves you. He desires you. Matter of fact, in 17:24, he says, Father, I will. That's my desire, that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am. And where is he? In heaven. And so in 1 Thessalonians 4:17, it says that we will be at the rapture. All those that have passed away, their bodies will be resurrected and glorified and reunited with their soul, who is with Christ already of believers. And then we which are alive and remain shall be what? Caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Does that excite you? Because you know what? He says, we're coming back to get you. We're not going to desert you out on the foreign field. We're not going to desert you as an ambassador and just leave you. Oh, I'm coming back for you. And when I come back for you, there's rewards for all your hard service. You know, do they ever decorate an ambassador for the risking and hazarding of their lives in foreign countries? Are they honored? They should be honored if they're not. But I do know this, that in heaven we will be honored, and we'll be honored right along with Jesus Christ. And so in John chapter 17, verse 14, it talks about that. You know, the world hates you, but it hated Jesus first. So, why do you feel that you're still in this world as a believer? That's a tough question, wasn't it? Because that makes us think about, you know, why am I really here? Personally, why are you here? You know, you say, well, what were those points in your message again, Pastor? No, I want you to think about practically. Hopefully I got the message across so you can think about yourself. Why do you suppose you're still here? What does God want you to do? And then I ask this question. What does your life, your goals, and your pursuits demonstrate about your earthly purpose? Does that make sense? If we're to look at your life right now and what your goals are and what the purpose of your living is and what you're dedicating your time to, that would show us really your true thinking about why you're here, right? And what I'm asking is your purpose in life right now, does that line up with what God says He has in mind for you being here? And then I have a simple question. What do you feel needs to be changed, if any? You know, maybe you say, Pastor, I gave my life to the Lord years ago, and there's been times where it's been up and down, but I tell you what, there's nothing more blessed to me than to have a personal time with God every day and to have that close relationship and to tell others about the Lord Jesus Christ. This thrills my soul. I try to do this faithfully every day as I remember that He is faithfully interceding for me. My whole goal is to be yielded and sold out for whatever Christ's will is for my life. And so, Pastor, I just thank you for the message because that's, you know, exciting to know that God's got rewards for that and there's a future for me and He remembers me and He desires me to be with Him. However, maybe we haven't made that choice. Maybe we found out today, you know what? I think my focus got a little bit out of skew. I think that I dropped my glasses and now I'm nearsighted and I only saw what was going on around me. You ever have that problem? I'm farsighted, but you get the point. We need to be farsighted. We need to be looking to heaven for our home and not here. And when we have that proper perspective, it'll change. And so what is it in our life that we need to change? And lastly, I need to remember that Christ, that I am Christ's tabernacle. In other words, the Holy Spirit lives in me here that He might function and relate in this world to reach the lost. And I have a choice of either yielding Him this body, which He already paid for, or taking it back for myself and using it how I want. And so there's the challenge. Today, I know it's a very soul-searching message, but the point of the matter is why are we here? You know, I heard one of the guys on the news, or on a documentary or whatever, he was from one of the countries over there where they have war 24/7. Matter of fact, they have seasons of the year where they just plan on going to war. You know, they fight all the time. And they thought that Americans were pretty wimpy. You know what the guy said? He said, we're all going to die anyway. So you may as well do something worthwhile in dying. I said, wow. That sure spoke to me. In America, we're trying so hard not to die, to protect ourselves. But you know what Jesus said? He that saveth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. So there's the challenge. What do you have for Christ? Let's close. Hymn of Invitation. Hymn number 375 we'll sing, but whatever the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart about, please yield to Him today. 375, I gave my life for thee. Let's stand. We'll sing all four verses.